This is episode 90. It's called A Word About Words.
Hey, it is episode 90. I can't believe it. I feel like I'm 90, not gonna lie. And speaking of old, today is an old topic for a new year because we have talked about the somewhat touchy topic of language, specifically the language used to discuss disability, and also in many ways used to define and label people by their disabilities and their differences. And nothing's changed really. People, some people, not everyone, continue to use outdated language, and I'm sure they have their reasons, and I'm definitely not here to pass judgment. But that is the thing. That is what is different about this episode. I do pass judgment from time to time, and it bugs me that I do that. Like, what is my problem? How do your word choices affect me? And why does it bug me so much? Because I tell you, it irks me. And I think I know why. And it doesn't exactly paint me in the best light. But I'm going to tell you like it is, because maybe you feel the same way that I do. Or maybe you're one of those people who watches me go off about it and about certain cringy terms. And you think, oh my God, what a total Karen McJudgy pants. And I don't blame you. But maybe if you hear why I react like this, maybe it will make more sense then. I don't know. So let's talk about it and we'll just see where we all land on this.
Hey everyone, it's a very bright life.
It sure is. Your life is so bright.
I gotta wear shades.
We are so happy that you're here with us.
Let's do this thing.
So, yeah, like I said, this isn't exactly a new topic, but I thought we should visit it again, even though I have spouted off about it on several episodes. And if you missed those and you're interested in the backstory of how I transitioned from a card-carrying, loud and proud special needs mom to the disability advocate that you see before you, you can listen to episode 2, which is called Not Special, or there's a later episode called New to Us Disability-Related Language. That's episode 69. And I'll link those for you in the show notes for easy access. Now I want to make a joke about easy access to 69, but I won't, because that's rude and crass language, which is something that I avoid at all costs. Just kidding. No, I don't. I love rude and crass and immature, as long as it doesn't hurt or disrespect anyone, because I do have ethical and moral boundaries. So maybe we should get into those right now. Where should I start? I guess we should start with a word about words, because words are hella powerful, and even a single letter can change everything. Like a few weeks ago, I had to rush to Avery's school to pick her up because they had called me to say, please come pick her up. And so I texted my husband to tell him what was going on. And once I picked her up, I texted my husband because I knew he was worried. And I sent him a quick message that said, just left the school. I hate her now. He was like, what? You mean you love her, right? So I have became I hate, just with a simple switch of one letter. I have her now, not I hate her now. My husband thought he had married a monster. And also, this still makes me laugh, an abbreviation can change your meaning a lot too. Like, for example, over the holidays, we had this advent calendar and each day had a different adventure. And one of them was a visit to the donkey sanctuary, which I'm not going to lie, was mostly for my enjoyment. But I put all of these dates into our shared Google calendar. And because I know that Avery looks at it every day, I didn't want to put donkey sanctuary. So instead I put ass appointment. And my husband was perusing through and he saw it. And afterwards he's like, Lise, I saw that you had an ass appointment and I was concerned. Like, is there something I need to know about? No, my ass is fine for the most part. Yeah. also the meaning of words changes over time. Just listen to Avery's diagnosis. This was written back in 2007. Terminal deletions of the distal portion of the short arm of chromosome 3 cause a rare contiguous, I don't know what that word means, gene disorder characterized by growth retardation, developmental delay, mental retardation, dimorphisms, microcephaly, and ptosis. So they use the R word twice, but it was appropriate at the time. It was the correct medical term for slow development. The R word is totally wrecked now. Like, no matter how you use it, even in the proper medical context, it just hits different, as the kids say. Like, when I first read this diagnosis, I didn't even flinch. Well, I did flinch a lot, but just because of how heavy the diagnosis was, but not because of the word retardation, because it was used in the original medically kind of way. But also, like, on the one hand, I think, my God, can we not say anything? Are we all just a bunch of sensitive snowflakes who just need to get over ourselves? But I think, yeah, I think in this case, it's not about being overly sensitive. It's about respecting the evolving perspectives of the disability community. But words do definitely change over time, and so does their impact. And the R word has changed into something completely different. I mean, we've had experience with it over the years, mostly in terms of Avery's brother being teased by kids at school for having a retard for a sister. I can barely even say that without just physically reacting, but nothing really that Avery was aware of herself until the other day. Avery came home from school and she was like, "Hey, Mom, what is a retard?" And I was like, "Oh, geez, here we go." And I said, "What?" And she said, "What does it mean to be retarded?" And I said, "Where did you hear that word?" And she said, "I don't remember. I don't know." And in Avery's case, it could be she doesn't remember, or it could be she just doesn't want to say. So we did have a conversation about it. And I said, "You know how sometimes there are kind words and unkind words?" I said, "Retarded, sometimes people call it the R word because they just don't like saying it because it's such an unkind word. It used to mean slow learning." I don't know why I said that. I just said slow learning. And then I said, "But now people use it to make fun of people with intellectual disabilities. And it's not a nice word. And if you hear that word, you need to tell somebody. And I'm glad we're talking about it now," and la, la, la. I said, "It means if someone calls you or a person, a friend of yours, you know, retarded, it means they're calling them stupid." And she was like, "No," because in her world, stupid is the S word, just like fat is the F word. So that was difficult. And I never got to the bottom of where it came from. We think she heard it in a movie or somewhere on social media. Not sure, but regardless, we had that chat. So fun times. But I think we can all agree that the R word is over. It's canceled. It's just done. It's never okay. It began as a word with a very clear and appropriate medical and developmental meaning, but it has become weaponized or vilified or whatever the term is. When people say, "You know, that's so retarded," they're describing something that's stupid or weird. And it's just disrespectful and mean to people with intellectual disabilities. So I know nobody here uses that word, so I'm not talking to you. I'm just talking to those other people. I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts the other day, and I was shocked to hear one of the hosts, who is very liberal and amazing, she used the word libtard. And I was only half listening, but I was like, "What? What did she just say?" So I had to go back and listen again just to make sure. And it's the I've Had It podcast, and it's very progressive. It's hilarious. And so I'm thinking, "Oh, great. So now I have to boycott it." But when I listened to the part again, I realized that she was mocking a conservative ding-dong and using his language to illustrate what a fool some of these right-wing buffoons are. So it wasn't her using the word, it was her using it as a parody. So I was able to settle down. And I totally laughed because in another episode of this same podcast, one of the hosts shared a word that she has absolutely had it with, which is the whole premise of the I've Had It podcast. And it's not disability related, but it's totally relatable. I had just said to my husband over the holidays that if I hear this word again from a certain family member, I'm going to snap. I'm going to snap. So just have a listen and see if you can relate to this.
I've had it with people calling breakfast brekkie.
I have heard that recently.
Stop. Quit putting on your Instagram. Brekkie in bed. Going to brekkie with my boo. Bay and I going to brekkie. Put a sock in it. Quit making shit up. It's breakfast. It's always been breakfast. Quit calling it brekkie. I've had it.
Yeah.
Second one is quit calling reservations resies.
Oh, I hadn't heard that. That's awful.
Had it.
Had it.
Got a resi for me and boo. Got a resi for me and bae. Making Valentine resis. Shut up. I don't want to hear it.
No one
cares. Had it. Quit making up cute words for your performative Instagram post. Put a sock in it. I've had it.
I actually don't hate resi, although I prefer rezo. But brekkie? Yeah, please God, no, never. My husband, with his British roots, has been known to use bicky in place of cookie. So he knows better than to do that now. Anyway, all of that is just tongue-in-cheek. It's silly. It's not important. It's just a lighthearted poke at words. It's just funny. But the R word is never funny. And it's a word, obviously, that needs to never be used, ever, ever. And there's never a good place for it. And this is pretty common knowledge. So if you hear someone using this word, you know that they are knowingly just being an ass. So it's because they don't give a crap. So that really riles me up. And the social justice warrior in me gets all fired up. But I just have this need for fairness, and everything should be fair and everything should be kind. So I've been like this since I was a kid. When life is unkind or it's unfair, I get pissed off. And then when I can't do anything about it or I can't change it, I become even more pissed off. And I know that I am not the language police and I don't intend to be judgy about it. I really do not. I can just imagine my best friend. She's rolling her eyes right now listening to this because we have this ongoing joke where she'll say something that's maybe even like mildly triggering to me. And then she'll stop herself and she'll be like, oh, wait, never mind. And I'll be like, what? And she'll go, oh, not nothing. And I'll be like, just tell me. And she'll go, no. And I'll be like, why? And she'll say every time, well, you know how you are. I do know how I am. She's not wrong. I have strong opinions about certain things. And I find it really difficult to just keep my inside thoughts inside sometimes. So I can be a little bit opinionated about this topic. But I do have a pony in this race. So I think it's okay that I have an opinion. But like, why does it bother me so much when other people, especially super kind people, and parents or caregivers or even organizations in the disability community, why does it bother me when they continue to use outdated language? I mean, does them saying special needs hurt me? No. Does it hurt Avery at all? No. She doesn't actually give a rat's ass about the term special needs or special ed or any of it. She actually likes being called special because she isn't aware that it refers to her abilities. She takes it as a compliment. Fair enough. I think it's primarily neurodivergent and autistic people, people with MID, with mild intellectual disability, and people with physical disabilities who mostly object to being labeled as special. Kids like Avery, who have more profound intellectual disabilities, probably don't object because it doesn't occur to them to, you know? When Avery was younger and kids would tease her, like right to her face and say some really mean things about her, she would just smile at them. So why would special needs parents be offended by the word special needs if their kids are okay with it? So, you know, what's the big deal? I think I'm choosing to be a squeaky wheel on my child's behalf, even though it's not an issue for her, but it is for some of her peers. And so that is enough for me to at least try to be an ally, even if it makes me unpopular in the special needs mom circles, if you know what I mean. So I don't know. Why does the language that other people use to describe a person with developmental disabilities bother me? And why am I all up in here again talking about it? I don't know. Like, whenever I hear, these special needs kids or our special abilities cheer team, it makes me tense. Oh my God, is there something like misophonia, which I have, which is a physical response to certain sounds, misophonia for specific words, like a grammar misophonia, maybe? I don't know. If there is, I totally have it. It's also funny though, not funny, haha, but interesting that most of the people who I know who don't have a child with disabilities, they're usually totally okay swapping out special needs for disabled once they've been told that that's the preferred language. It seems to be the special needs parent community who are more likely to hang on to the term special. And just for clarification, it's not needs that's the issue. It's primarily the word special. Needs can absolutely vary. I don't think that's in question. It's more about labeling anyone's needs as more special than somebody else's. Complex, yes. Special, not really. I mean, of course we think that our kids are special, but not because of their mixed up chromosomes or their learning disabilities or their medical complexities. There's nothing really special about any of that. It is what it is, but they're human beings just like everybody else, but they do have things about them that make aspects of them different. And often these differences are disabilities. And so they often require accommodations to level the playing field or just to make life more accessible, because they're disabled people in this predominantly inaccessible world. And that's not special. It's frustrating and it's annoying and it's unfair, but it's not special. Not that special is like a bad word. I think it actually used to be the perfect word to describe different needs. But I feel, and this might make me unpopular, but I feel like special is becoming the new R word in a way, because it's gotten so far away from its original intended meaning, which used to be better, greater, or otherwise different from what is usual. Different from what is usual, or I guess typical developing, totally fits. But when non-disabled people say, oh, those special needs kids, or she's, you know, special, to me, it just has an R word vibe, you know? Some people use additional needs or exceptional needs or what else? Extra or accessible in place of special. And I think those work. I mean, they work for me, but don't quote me because I'm not a disabled person, so I don't really have a say. But if you ask disabled adults, ones who have like the cognitive ability to be able to discern what's what, they will tell you that when people call them special, it feels like a slur and it has a condescending, ableist tone, and they are asking us not to use it. So I don't. But I get why families are reluctant to let it go, because special is comfortable. It's familiar. It's what we've always used, and change is hard. Not to mention the fact that the preferred language is disabled. And for many of us, especially when, you know, older folks, I'm including myself, dear God, it's my birthday tomorrow. I don't want to talk about it. When older folks, like from the, you know, mid to late 1900s, that word has all kinds of unpleasantness attached to it. But the bottom line is I just try not to use special, but also I'm a hypocrite because I do use disabled whenever I'm sharing on social media or if I'm writing or talking about Avery's developmental disabilities. But because I know that the majority of people on social media search special needs when they're looking for information about intellectual or developmental disabilities, I sometimes use the term special needs mom, special needs family to make it easier for search engines to find us. So I'll just kind of like tuck it down like on a reel, like really, 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 really small at the bottom so that the algorithm can pick us up. So I feel like that's doing something dirty, you know, but like, here's the thing. If you search disabilities or disabled online, mostly posts about physical disabilities come up. So that's why I hide the keywords, you know, in posts so that the search engines can find us, but I don't want it displayed out loud. So I don't know how I feel about that, but here's a totally uncomfortable truth bomb. I very, very, very much dislike the word disabled. I don't like how it sounds when I say it. I don't like how it looks when I write it. And I'm pretty sure this is just residual 1980s sentiment. Yeah, I feel like an ableist person saying that, but my feelings are my feelings. I had this parent say to me a while ago, and I can't let it go. She said she thought that me using the word disabled to describe Avery was awful. Well, she didn't say awful. I think she said inappropriate. I mean, what? Like, I don't like the word disabled, but it's not inappropriate at all. My daughter is disabled. I just don't like saying it, but it is what it is. But I won't get into that whole thing because I know that she listens to this podcast sometimes and it just feels wrong to disclose our conversation without getting her permission. But I will say that I get it. Parents and even special ed teachers and all of that, they'll say, we've been using special forever and it's fine. But my voice just cracked. I'm like a teenage boy. And let me try that again. But when intellectual people, no, sorry. Oh, fuck. I'm losing my train of thought. When people with intellectual disabilities tell you that being called special makes them feel like you are calling them the R word, like, is it still fine though? I think not. I think the issue is less about giving up the word special and more about using disabled instead. And I totally get why that's not vibing, because this younger generation is trying to take back the word disabled, and that's great, and I understand it in principle. But what they don't understand is that for us, for parents who are in their 40s, 50s, and beyond, who grew up in, you know, the 80s era, back then, dis meant dismiss or disregard, and it was rude. Like, calling somebody disabled back then was incredibly disrespectful. And I mean, that was inappropriate. And that whole feeling, it's really hard to let go of that. Even though disabled people are asking us to use it, they're giving us permission to use it so that they can take back the word and its power. Like, I understand it and I respectfully comply, but I still don't like it. And I know that's a very ableist thing to say, but you know, truth. So I am trying to be a trustworthy ally and an advocate, and not just for Avery, who, like I said, gives zero cares about what language I use or what other people use, but I'm doing it for the disability community that I get to interact with, because disregarding how they prefer to be identified just to, you know, reduce my own discomfort or to conform to what makes other families comfortable isn't really an option, even though I know that it makes me look like an asshole to some people. So what are you going to do? So here's an example, just to put it into perspective. Avery was in a parade leading up to the holidays, and it was great. Such a good experience. Highly recommend. I'm standing in front of the float, ready to roll, and I'm beside this mom. And this gentleman walks by and he looks at the float and he says, oh, hey, what's this float all about? So I say, oh, well, this is the Special Friends Network. And this float is a celebration of people in our community with intellectual disabilities. And the mom looks at me and she says to the man, she means special needs. And he's like, oh, okay. And I was like, oh, for feather's sake. So I walked off to do something, and then I came back and I just said, hey. So like I made some small talk about the float and how great it was and this experience for our kids and everything. And then I just said, yeah, I said, the language around it can be really tricky, can't it? I said, you know, I used disabilities when I was speaking to that gentleman, but, you know, sometimes that doesn't really vibe with people and they prefer special needs. And then I just kind of gave an example of how, you know, I said, you know, I'm on social media a lot and I'm often told not to use special needs. So I use disabled. And wow, it's a really tricky place to be, you know, with language changing and everything. And she was like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. She said, yeah, I've heard that some people, you know, use disabilities, and but I still prefer special needs. And I'm like, cool, cool, cool beans. You know, I'm not going to argue with her, and I don't wholeheartedly disagree with her. So it just, I just look like a bit of a blowhard. But anyway, I think I forgot to adjust my language to match the audience, if you know what I mean. Because sometimes I do that. Like if I'm posting on social media, and because the majority of people who interact with over there tend to be, you know, like-minded advocates or allies or whatever, I will use disabled, because if I use special needs, I will get roasted, or at least I'll get firmly corrected. So I use, you know, hashtag disabilities and all of the sort of corresponding hashtags when I'm in that environment. But if I'm with a group of parents of Avery's peers, and if I use, you know, disabled, I will get some side eyes, like they can't believe that I called my kid disabled. So I just try not to use anything at all. But it slips out occasionally, because I'm me and I talk a lot. So it's a risk that you take when you have a mouth, a big mouth. So anyway, for the most part, I just try to use the language that people are asking us to use. And I try to share that message whenever I can, knowing that I can come off looking like a judgy, high horse, big mouth mom. And I hate that, because that in itself just isn't inclusive behavior. So it's hard. So do I just shut it and just let people do what they want? Or do I continue to gently share, because maybe they just don't know, and maybe they would appreciate the update? Like, what do you think? What do you prefer? What do you want? I like to think that this line of questioning is because I take my role as an advocate and an ally very seriously. And I think there's some truth to that, but there's also an element of justice warrior Lisa, who needs to be right all the time. And there's that whole fair is fair, kind is kind kind of thing as well. So see, that doesn't really paint me in a very good light, does it? But fuck it. I have this podcast so that we can, you know, talk about the uncomfortable stuff, even if it makes me look bad. So it's like when you become a vegan and you're super excited about it and you want to teach everybody about it. Or if you quit drinking and you want to tell everybody how good it feels, like, you know, and you just want to help your friends become strong and healthy and all that stuff. Yeah. Nobody wants to hear about your journey. And even if you are sharing it because you're trying to be helpful, it's just a no. And it feels like this is the same in some ways. I want to correct people, but nobody wants to be corrected. They will change their language when it suits them. And it's not my business. So I am going to just zip it. But before I do, of course, I just want to get one more thing off my chest, and then I will stick a sock in it for good. Can we just talk about special abilities for just a sec? Because this one is particularly ick for me. How are my kids' abilities special? I'm asking for real, for some clarification, because she has an intellectual disability, but does that make her tumbling skills special? Like, that doesn't track for me. Like, Avery might not be able to do a cartwheel or a back handspring or whatever they do, but her physical disabilities are affected by her hypotonia and her gross motor development, but that's not special. That's not the right word. Her ability to walk on her hands has been disabled by her physicality. But it doesn't mean she will never do a cartwheel. But she'll have to just work harder, and it'll take her longer to get there because of her disabilities, not because of her special abilities. Can you hear it? Can you hear how calling her cheer team special abilities just doesn't fit? I don't know what would be better, though. And there isn't a better option out there, so I understand why her division or her cheer level or whatever continues to be called special abilities, but there has to be something that's more accurate and more empowering. I just don't know what it is. So I actually put this prompt into ChatGPT because ChatGPT knows everything. So I put in, the term special needs is outdated. The preferred language is now disabled. In cheerleading, teams comprised of athletes with disabilities is referred to as special abilities. This is also outdated. Some have revised the language to cheer abilities, which still isn't a good fit. What does cheer abilities even mean? Seriously, what does it mean? It makes no sense. Please suggest some updated alternatives for these labels that are more current, politically correct, and maintain the respect and dignity of disabled athletes. So this is what it spat out. Certainly, language evolves, and it is important to... Why am I speaking like Yoda? It is important to use terminology that respects and values the dignity of individuals with disabilities. Here are some updated alternatives. Differently abled cheer. Definitely no. Inclusive cheerleading, maybe. Adaptive cheer, empowered cheer, unified cheerleading. That's actually, unified cheerleading is actually a thing. Ability inclusive cheer, diversive cheer, inclusive cheer spirits. What? All abilities cheer. Yeah, of all of them, I like, if I had to choose, I would choose adaptive, because adaptive means having the ability or tendency to adapt to different situations. And that makes more sense to me. Because this team does like a full out cheer routine, but they have to adapt the routine and some of the moves to what falls within the range of their abilities. It's adaptive. So, by the way, in case you missed me shouting it from the rooftops, Avery's cheer team is going to compete at the World Cheerleading Competition in Florida this spring, and they're going to be representing Canada. So we are so excited. And their division for Worlds is officially called Special Olympics Special Abilities. So we are hit with a double special whammy in that one. But whatever. I'm not going to focus on it. It's not my business. I just make it my business and then I drive myself bananas over it. So I think I need to either let it go or double down. And I think I'm leaning heavily towards just letting it go because there are way bigger fights to fight. But yeah, I just wanted to put this out there for anyone who wonders maybe why my face gets all clenched up and my eyes get all squinty when I hear, you know, things like, put your hands together for these awesome special abilities kids. Yeah, and just to say to anybody like me who struggles to use disabled, just because I use it, it does not mean that I am totally comfortable with it. My 80s girl heart feels heavy whenever I call my daughter disabled. But I do it for all of the reasons that we just talked about, but I'm not a fan. And if admitting that makes me a crappy ally, then, you know, whatever. But I think it just makes me human. I'm just a human doing human things. And also, it's not like I go around labeling Avery every 5 minutes. I'm not like, hey, this is Avery, my disabled child. I don't introduce her that way. But sometimes we need a label because her disabilities are part of her identity. So when I'm writing about her, for example, it makes sense for context. Context. What? For context, sometimes to include that detail about her. And a final thought, I promise. If you struggle with saying my disabled kid, I totally get you. And I found it easier to start with saying like my child with disabilities. I don't know why. It just feels more doable. It feels more gentle or less. I don't know. I don't even know. Sometimes I use the word complex needs or I'll use neurodivergent. It just depends on who I'm talking to and in what context. Just anything in place of special, but that still gets the point across. I think I'll just end with, I find it hard to, I don't know, to do the right thing as an ally, but also to just mind my own business and not get all fired up about the words that other people use, because really my daughter is happy and she's proud of who she is. So does it really matter what words other people use to describe her. Like, really? Does it matter? I think I could just easily stay in my own lane about this. Life would definitely be more peaceful. I would love to hear your thoughts on this. Like, are you cool with special needs? Or do you have trouble saying disabled? Do you have any thoughts on a better term for special abilities? Please, God, think of something quickly. Send us a message or leave us a comment on Instagram. We'd love to keep this conversation going. So yeah, so that's a wrap. And thank you for tuning in. This topic was a tricky one. I think I made it much more difficult than it needed to be. But anyway, that's what I do. Okay, and now here's Avery so we can end this episode on a high note.
Hey, Mom.
Yeah?
My pants is so long, I need to get them fixed. I need them hemmed fast. I know who can do it.
Who?
Taylor Swift.
Oh, that is good. So just for people who don't get the joke, because not everybody does, what does a tailor do in real life?
To sew our clothes.
Correct. What is Swift?
Fast.
Fast. So a fast tailor is a Swift tailor, is a Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Your support means so much to us. So thank you for sharing the podcast and for cheering us on. It is amazing to see this bright, beautiful community growing in this way. If you have a question, an episode suggestion, or you just want to say hello, we would love to hear from you. So reach out on Instagram or send us an email. Or you can show off your techie prowess by leaving us an audio message by clicking the message button on the Spotify for Podcasters homepage. That link is in the show notes and on the podcast page on the A Very Bright Life website. If you liked what you heard today, please consider leaving us a review. More positive comments and 5-star reviews nudge the algorithm to deliver this content to more ears. Thanks for listening, and we'll chat with you again soon.